Before we get started with this episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast, I wanted to talk about FanShare Sports. We talk about them every episode, talk about their ownership projections, some recent stats, all the cool tools they have over there. And if you want to join, there's no better time than now. From now until the first tee time at the U.S. Open on Thursday, you can get 50% off a package of your choice at fanshare.com just by using promo code USA. Hey, tell them the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast sent you, but use promo code USA for 50% off your package at fansharesports.com. So go check them out. Tell them the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast sent you. Also, if you have a rating and review on iTunes, I'd much appreciate it. It would help me and Jesse out a ton to keep continuing to grow the podcast with all you great listeners and followers. Until then, welcome to the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast previewing the 2019 U.S. Open.
Play. Yeah.
Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come to the show.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast, previewing the third major of the PGA Tour season, the U.S. Open, live from Pebble Beach this week. In order to do so, joined by my co-host as always. You can find him on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how are you doing, man?
Doing well, dude. It's hard to believe we're at the third major of the year.
Yeah, when I wrote the description on YouTube for this right beforehand, I almost typed the second. I'm like, nope, this is actually the third. Yeah. Things have changed already. We're moving right along this season.
That is crazy, man. I mean, it's going to be, you know, Open Championship and then playoffs and then it's over.
Yeah, it's funny though. The more I looked at it, it's technically over, but that West swing starts a lot earlier than usual too. Like, they're really not getting a big gap if they don't want it.
Well, yeah.
This schedule is built for the really good players that don't have to play a lot. That's what this is built for.
It is 100%. But it's also fun to have a major every 3 weeks during this kind of prime time, especially with there's NBA winding down, you know, obviously playoffs going on, NHL about to finish too, and then all you got's boring ass baseball.
Easy now, easy. That's scary. But yes, I understand. Baseball is not for everybody, which is ironic because people that think baseball's too slow, they're listening to a golf podcast. So let's really break it down here real quick. Right. But maybe that's why I like them both. I'm just a slow guy. But I love the schedule because, like you said, you get a major pretty much like every 3 weeks, and you at least get one of the other big tournaments in between there. So like the fields are all pretty loaded, even the RBC was very loaded compared to normal. And you know what it sounds like, they're going to move that RBC around a lot, and they might try to – there's enough courses up there in Canada to maybe resemble U.S. Open courses, kind of like, you know, in Texas they used to do for the Masters and whatnot. And, you know, they showed at the RBC, it was like the rough wasn't U.S. Open rough, but the idea of having to hit your shot, be accurate, small greens, POA, so on and so forth, I don't think it was initially planned that way, but it did resemble Pebble quite a bit. So –
yeah, it had a I didn't watch any on the weekend. I was busy like you know, on the course myself. But I watched it Thursday and Friday quite a bit, and it had a look to kind of more of a major type of golf course. You know, it was the rough was kind of thick, and then obviously the greens were very difficult. It was more so on those greens because they were very undulating, but. Yeah, I mean, I think it's a great idea if they can play it on POA every year and have similar type of conditions. Now, one thing we'll get into later, but isn't it like super hot there currently?
Yes, but what I'll tell everybody now is I'll be out there tomorrow. So if I see something that's weird, we'll talk about that in the Slack chat for sure. But we've had a lot of rain, even as recently as like last week. Yeah. So it's a lot different than when people said, you know, they scorched the golf course back in 2010 and everything was super dried out. We've had a ton of rain. Like I played Poppy Hills, which is a Pebble Beach golf course, a week and a half ago now, two Fridays ago. And it's literally like 2 miles away from Pebble Beach's actual course. And it was lush. It was green. It was wet. It was beautiful. Like not a care in the world. So if that course was that good, I'm pretty sure Pebble's going to be okay.
Well, we'll see. Yeah, but we'll see. I guess I don't know, man. Like it's you never know with the fucking USGA.
That's the biggest thing. It's what are they going to do with it, and that's what I'm looking forward to seeing tomorrow when I walk around out there.
But they can only do so much. I mean, it depends on. Yes. Again, you know, I mean, they can't dry something out that is that you just can't dry out because it's just got too much rain on it. I mean, the one good thing about Pebble is it's right there on the coast, so it's constantly getting some kind of moisture on it anyway. So you can't kill it off like. But then again, if you watch the Women's U.S. Open, that golf course was right on the water as well, and they managed to
destroy it.
Destroy it, yeah. I mean, well, destroy it, yeah. But burn it up. They burn it the fuck up. It was brown. So, anyways,
I have a gut feeling the people that run Pebble Beach, that own Pebble Beach, will not allow that to happen. I know it's not their call technically, but that's such a prestigious golf course that
it's a lot of money.
I don't think they want that.
You're getting $500 a round, but at the same time, like they could probably get $750 a round for the next few weeks after the USGA moves on.
Oh, all the courses in the area as of two Sundays ago, they like doubled or tripled their rates. All of them. I played the Sunday before I played on a Sunday up in Carmel, and they told me it's a good thing you guys are playing today because starting tomorrow our rates go to this number. I'm like, Jesus Christ! And people were like booking them out, like they were almost all booked all the way through the Open. It's freaking crazy. But, yeah, that's another podcast for another day. If anybody's curious, you know, and you're bored and I'm bored, we can talk. But, recapping the RBC real quick. Rory McIlroy looked damn good. He was hitting it long. He was hitting it straight. His approach game was on point, and he was, like, sixth in the field and putting. When Rory – we've always said it. When Rory's putting, he's one of the best golfers, if not the best golfer in the world. He just torched the course over the weekend, especially on Sunday, 9-under on Sunday – to finish 22 under par and absolutely just dominate the golf tournament. He was great. You had Sneds up there, Kuchar up there, and Graham McDowell made a big putt on 18 to qualify for the Open Championship at Port Rush, where he's from. You had so many good storylines. You got Justin Thomas actually play four rounds of golf and look pretty good. Any takeaways from your time you watched it early on the week or anything else that you might have saw?
Not a bunch. I mean, just looking at stats from Rory, that was the most stats he's gained in a win, I'm guessing, pretty much ever. He gained 21 shots total, 21 strokes total over the week, and it wasn't even done off the tee, which is atypical for him. A lot of it was done, you know, with the putter. But either way, I mean, it's pretty amazing performance he put on there. I thought it was going to be a much tighter race, but I mean, when he shoots 9-under and just pretty much runs away with it. But other than that, man, I mean, my boy Shane Lowry, who I liked quite a bit last week, was up there. Webb, we talked about. Brandt, we mentioned, I think. Cooch, of course, we talked about.
Up there.
Yeah. And then a few other kind of weird names. Graham McDowell made top 10, and he gets to play the Open Championship now. Mm-hmm. Which is, I think, at his home course or something like that, or he's from around that area.
I just mentioned that.
Do what?
I just mentioned that, yeah.
I'm sorry. I was probably zoned out looking at Rory's stats. But, yeah, I mean, the problem that I had with it last week is obviously if we're going to move it around, it's just going to be tough to from a betting perspective. But I didn't mind the golf course. The golf course actually was
pretty
kind of fun to watch. And, yeah, and if they can keep it on something – you know, I think it's a great idea if it's going to be the lead up to the U.S. Open for them to make it a tougher deal now, 22 under.
That's how tough crazy. Was it?
Yeah. I mean, he won by 7 shots, but there were still, you know, quite a few guys who got to the 10 under pars. And I got a feeling nobody will sniff double digits under par this week. At least it's my guess. Could be wrong.
No, I don't see it happening much at all. It's one of those. It'll be cool if they keep like a 3 or 4 course rotation. We can come back to them and get a kind of feel for them. I'd be all for that. I like the idea of moving them. That's totally cool. But I'd like to see them use this golf course again. It's a really good course. You got rewarded for making good golf shots, and that's all I care about. Like we've talked about it before with the USGA, and again, hopefully it doesn't happen this week. But good golf shots didn't matter in past U.S. Opens. But courses like this past weekend, good golf shots, you got rewarded, and it was. Very fun to watch and a beautiful golf course. So, yeah, I had no problems with it at all. I'm looking forward to seeing where they go with that again. But let's get to the U.S. Open, Jesse.
Yep.
Let's get to the third major of the year. This is what it's all about. give us some past event history. Obviously, you can't give us all past Pebble history, but give us past event history.
Yeah, you'll talk obviously more about the golf course, and the weather will be a factor too. So we'll talk about that here in just a second. But as far as the actual U.S. Open goes, obviously it's on a rotation. What the rotation is basically just up to the USGA. But last year, Brooks Koepka won. The year before that, Brooks Koepka won. Dustin Johnson was 2016 champion. Jordan Spieth, 2015 champion. Now, the last time it was played at Pebble Beach, Graham McDowell was the champion. He shot even par and was a one-shot winner over Gregory Havrit. It's a great...
Nicely done. Nicely done.
Yeah, that was a fucking really good accent there. The time before that, which was 2000, so that was 2010 when Graham McDowell won. The last time they had it before that was 2000, was just 2000, when Tiger Woods was in the midst of a Tiger Slam, I do believe. And he shot 12 under par, won by 15 shots. And that was like the U.S. Open record for the most under par until Rory shot 16 at Congressional, won by 8 shots in 2011. And then Brooks tied his 16 shots under par, which was on a par 72 versus a par 7. Either way, the most under par. So, long story short, it played tough for everybody except for Tiger both times.
Shocker.
Yeah.
Shocker. If anybody's going to do it, why not the LTP?
I mean, great. 15 shots. And I was reading somewhere or listening to something. Oh, it was Ricky Fowler today, his press conference. He was mentioning how basically Tiger told his caddy, Stevie Williams at the time, that he wasn't going to make a bogey all day on Sunday. And he was up by 10 shots or whatever. It didn't really matter. And he was out there fist pumping like par putts on 15, 16, and was up by, 15 shots. But that was Tiger then, man. I mean, he just wanted to step on your throat and rip your head off.
He was a special, special breed. But, he owns that golf course. He's already been out there. You've seen the clips on Twitter. He loves playing there. We'll see how this version of Tiger plays there. But I imagine it'll be pretty good, I would assume. But, again, Pebble Beach Golf Links, golf course, whatever you want to call it. But it's the legendary Pebble Beach. It's going to be playing a little over to 7,000 yards. It's not going to be huge. I mentioned it from when I was there at the Pro-Am this year. They already had the markers out. You could see where the rough was going to grow. You saw where the new holes or tee boxes are going to be. But a lot of the holes, they can't move. Like, they just can't move them. I believe it was 10 or 11 they moved back behind the normal grandstands. I heard 17 they're going to take out the grandstands on 3. And you have to tee off over the rows, so it turns into like a 230-yard par 3 with the wind coming off the ocean right there. So that'll be interesting to try to – hold that on that green. That'll be really, really tricky. That's going to be a hell of a par 3. But all in all, what this course comes down to is just accuracy at the tee box. We've seen all the pictures. We've heard all the horror stories about the rough. It is very, very thick. It's very, very thick right off the fairways. It's very, very thick just a few feet off the green. They're cutting down all the brush on the slopes. So when the pro-ams, you'd hit the brush, it would stick there and you could play it. Here, it just rolls into the Pacific Ocean. So that happened to DJ back in 2010 when he just blew up on that Sunday. He found a few shots fall into the ocean because these fairways and most of the golf course is undulating. It's either, massive uphill downhills, it's sloping left to right. Not a lot of level shots when you're just standing in the fairway. So you're going to be able to work the ball right to left a bit at times and try to hit the smallest greens or one of the smallest set of greens on the PGA Tour. Very, very small. You'll hear the term POA. It's POA greens. Some guys putt very good on them, as we've talked about before. As the day goes on, they're harder and harder to putt on. So that's something to keep in mind. Especially as hot as it's going to be, they're going to grow pretty quickly. You're going to see some slower greens as the day goes on. Plus, you see a little more footprints and activity on them a little more frequently as the day goes on with the POA formats. It's going to be a lesson driver course. You'll see a lot of woods. You're going to see a lot of iron play, long irons, kind of just running them out there, getting 150 yards in or so. Again, as long as you can stay accurate, and par will be a good score here because you can get in trouble pretty freaking easily because it will be drier than the Pro-Am. There's no question about that, but it's still going to be pretty plush conditions, but the ball will roll. They're going to make those fairways tight and make them roll. So there's a lot to go on there. But all in all, there's bunkers throughout the fairways and around the greens, but not a tricky golf course if you stay in the fairway. That's a big if, a big, big if. And right now, looking at the weather, you know, it's going to be beautiful. You know, Thursday 65, Friday 63, and then when you get into the weekend, it's just going to be 62 and 62, no rain. And as of now, I'm not seeing, you know, you're going to get the normal, you know, maybe gusts of 15 to 20 mile an hour winds, but nothing crazy. But that's the thing about being off the ocean. It can kick up at a moment's notice, and it'll get really interesting because like half the golf course plays along the ocean side. So that can make things fun, especially if you get the wrong wave on that one. But overall, it's going to be a beautiful golf course, a lot of fun to watch on TV. Fox's coverage is going to be absolutely outstanding for that. So looking forward to that. Did you have anything else you wanted to add on the course?
I don't. It will be key to watch and see what the players are saying about it this week. And, you know, I highly recommend keeping up with some of the quotes that will be on Twitter and Golf Channel and all that kind of stuff.
Yep, definitely something to look at there. With all that being said, what are the key stats you'll be looking for this week?
So a couple different ways. I mean, I'm waiting putting. I don't hardly ever, but I'm waiting putting on POA. I think it is important because these, like, some people just absolutely hate POA and just can't put on it. Other guys do just fine. So I will definitely factor that in. Other than that, basically just your kind of normal run of the mill stats as far as shot strokes gained off the tee, strokes gained approach, proximity. I am throwing in fairways gained and bogey avoidance. Now, done a kind of a mixed condition model on Fantasy National and checked some of the things on the left side. So, like, for instance, scoring relative to par, using more difficult courses, because I do think this will play pretty difficult. And then, obviously, long rough, too, with the fairways gained. So just kind of messing around with it as far as that goes. It's a lot of things, obviously, you can do with Fantasy National. It's a pretty cool site. And you can kind of customize stuff and, like I said, make this mixed condition model, and we'll see how it plays out. But it's kind of where I'm at this point.
Yeah, I'm on board with pretty much all that. You know, accuracy off the tee, bogey avoidance, approach game. You're going to need to putt, like you said, on POA is going to be very, very clutch there, so something to keep in mind. But let's talk some FanShare Sports getting up for this. Don't use promo code ALWAYSPRESS this week. Just tell them they sent you, because if you use promo code USA from now until the tournament starts on Thursday, you get 50% off a season pass, or all subscriptions, actually. 50% off all subscriptions at fansharesports.com. So use promo code USA and you get 50% off a FanShare Sports package. It goes from now until the start of the tournament on Thursday. So go check that out. You're not going to find a better time to, if you want to try it out, this is as cheap as you're ever going to get it. So go check it out, worth every penny, and get your stuff over there at fansharesports.com. If they ask what you heard about it, tell them the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast.
100%. Right. And just to kind of tout them a little bit too, this is a great week to check in Wednesday night, see who they're projecting low ownership, and just plug a team in just in case there is mass carnage.
Yeah, because that's the thing, as we'll get into with our DraftKings picks, this is a week where all hell can break loose. Like, it's just, if you just have one awkward shot, you can turn a par into like a quadruple bogey.
Right.
And it just completely destroys your round. So it'll be interesting to see how that works. We talk about FanShare Sports. If we talk about coming in, I kind of did different things because, as usual, like last week, you can't just use, you know, the Pebble Beach Pro-Am. So I did the last 10 events on courses of around this length, from 7,000 to 7,200 yards. A DraftKings scoring, Lucas Biergaard, over 101 points. He played in three of those 10 tournaments, but guys that have played 10, Kuchar's averaging over 98 DraftKings points on courses like that. JT, 92, Webb, 91, Henrik, 90, Rahm, 86, Brooks, 85, Rose, Woods, and Molly. So as you'd expect, best of the best. Now, if we look at, you mentioned you want POA putters. Last 10 events on POA. Let me update this to put just the field. There we go. Dustin Johnson leads the way. That makes sense. We've seen DJ dominate the West Coast. We've seen him dominate Pebble. On the last 10 events on POA on the PGA Tour, Dustin's played all 10. He's averaging over 97 points. The next closest guy in second place is Jason Day on all 10 at 82. Dustin Johnson loves him some POA. You got Tony Finau at 82, Justin Thomas, 81, Rory, Phil, Casey, Matt Wallace cracks the list, Adam Scott, and Colin Morikawa He's only played in one event, but he played really well on POA. So keep that in mind. Small sample with Colin, but again, best of the best that you'd expect in a field like this. Last but not least, coming in good form the last six events, DraftKings scoring-wise, leading the way would be Brooks Koepka, Rory, Tiger, Francisco, Patrick Cantlay is going to be a popular guy this week, Rory Sabatini, DJ, Tomas Peters, Kevin Na, and Jordan Spieth. A lot of the names you'd think of coming into it, but let's do it, Jesse. Let's talk DraftKings. Let's give everybody what they wanted, and it's going to be a fun one as you got a handful of players over $10,000, and if my page will load, I will start talking to you about DraftKings, but we're going to put this off for just a second here now. Yes, this is the beautiful thing called technology. I absolutely love it right here. There we go. All right, the highest priced golfer in the field, Brooks Koepka at 11.6. You got DJ at 11.3, Tigre at 10.7, Rory 10.5, Spieth all the way up to 10.3, and Patrick Cantlay with the big boys at $10,000. I know Cantlay's name's been everywhere. People have been playing him and all kind of like for the picks to win and everything. He's been a popular guy the last few weeks. But you got six guys over 10K, Jesse. Where are you looking at on this one?
All of them. I mean, yeah. I've got all of them checked, and I think there's merit to playing all of them. The good thing about Brooks in this tournament is he's not underpriced. I mean, that's where he should be. Maybe even potentially a little bit of an overprice, just given. I mean, obviously back to back U.S. Open champion, coming off the PGA Championship win. I'm not saying he's overpriced. I'm just saying I think him and DJ are about equal. So for that reason, I like DJ just a little bit more now. I love if it's possible and you want to get completely ballsy playing in a 3 max or, you know, 20 max or whatever you're playing in. And if you can just fit in Brooks and DJ and find somebody else, you know, find those other four guys, obviously you're going to be dipping down. But there'll probably be some guys who will make the cut.
If you take Brooks and DJ, you have four golfers left. You can average $6,775 a golfer.
Yeah. I mean, it's not going to be comfortable to do, but not many people are going to do it. And if you can find that right four golfers down there, there's going to be some surprises. There is every year. And you know, they may shit the bed on Sunday, but, if you got the top two there and then 66 is low to begin with, you know, I think you got a pretty good shot. So, I almost did that at the PGA Championship. I had a lineup in with those two. Ended up getting five of six because I fucking switched DJ to Tiger.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Anyways, moving on to Tiger. I think he's fine. I don't think I'm gonna play him, but I can see why people would. He missed the cut at the PGA Championship, which is going to play more similar than the Masters ever will, as far as having to hit fairways. Now, he had a pretty good showing, top 10 at Memorial. He had a really nice Sunday, but it wasn't anything like spectacular. I don't know. He's a GPP only play if you want to throw him in there. I think Rory will be popular coming off his win. He obviously looked good. Finally got a win for me. I've been touting him for however many damn weeks in a row now. I think Spieth will not be that popular because he never is. He has a past champion at Pebble Beach, the 2017 AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am champion there. So he's got the course history. And then Cantlay, I don't know, man. It'll be interesting to see where Cantlay comes in at fan share wise. Because that price is, you know, a little bit inflated for him. Who do you really want? Him or Rose? I mean, let's think about it. You know what I mean? Like, Rose is a major champion. Cantlay's not. JT's a major champion. We'll talk about these guys obviously coming up, but it just seems to me like he's overpriced. So I don't know that I want to pay that much for him. The two plays for me are the two up top. Brooks, I think we can get him at less ownership because of the high price, and then DJ, he's just in form. He's playing really well, and he just tends to show up.
Yeah, I don't need to say a ton more. I think DJ is a phenomenal play this week. I know it's Captain Obvious type speak here, but when you talk about a guy that loves playing Pebble Beach, and again, I know everyone's going to say this isn't the same, but still, course knowledge is going to help. You're going to know when you can go for holes and not go for it and stuff like that. He's going to know where his shot goes, and you know, when he's playing a cut down pro am tour, like that's going to go in the rough over there. Maybe I shouldn't hit that shot. Where other guys might not know that. They're going to say, screw it, let's go. There's going to be little factors like that that might make or break a difference, or he just plays like shit. Who knows? But I think DJ at 11-3, like you said, coming in the form he's coming in, two top twos in his last four events. He's played really well in U.S. Open to begin with, a third, a missed cut, a first, a second, a fourth in his last five. That's pretty damn good. Pretty darn. I'll let the missed cuts slide in U.S. Opens because Rory McIlroy has missed three straight cuts in U.S. Opens. Like, the best of the best. It's carnage. It is absolute. You're going to see Twitter go ablaze by mid-Thursday, if not sooner. Like, someone's going to just trunk slam out the gate.
It's going
to happen. It will happen. That is the beauty of this tournament and the pain of this tournament. But I love DJ. He's made 11 to 12 cuts, including he's won here, eight top 10s in the Pro-Am, plays well in U.S. Opens. I like him a ton this week. If not, I'm going to get contrarian. I'm going Jordan Spieth. He loves Pebble. He's won here. He's made all seven cuts at Pebble. When you talk about a guy that's in good form, it's T7, T8, T3, his last three times out. He's pretty accurate off the tee these days. He likes putting on POA. This sets up really well for him, and the price bump he has had and the amount of haters I think that still exist for Jordan Spieth, I think you're going to get some low-owned Jordan Spieth here, especially with Rory $200 more. If you're coming up here, I have no problem with Jordan Spieth. We've been on him the last few weeks actually on the show. We've been kind of pro-Jordan of late, and I think this is a good week to jump back on board. If he's ever going to get back into the major championship, if it's not for the Masters, this is the kind of course to do it for him. This is where he's going to be able to do it. So I don't mind Jordan at all. It's all about DJ up top for me. That's where it's at. All right, 9K. You got Justin Rose at 97. You got Ricky Fowler, 95. JT at 93. Rom, 92. Day, 91. Molly, 9,000. If you don't want to pay up, you can easily start right here with a slew of really good golfers. Where are you directing your attention in the 9K range?
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at really two guys here, and I'm going to leave one for your more analysis, but Justin Rose.
I wonder who that's going to be.
Yeah, 9,700. So two of two cuts at Pebble, which is, you know, obviously the Pro-Am, different animal. But did make the cut at the PGA Championship as well, finished 29th there. So I think he's kind of a sneaky, under-the-radar potentially play. You know, you never really know in these situations. But I do feel like in major tournaments, people will be more apt to pay up. So grabbing Rory or Tiger or DJ or whoever up top there, and it just, you can't really be comfortable with doing two guys above 9K. It's much more comfortable to just grab one of those guys and shoot down into the 8,000s where there's plenty of good plays. I mean, we'll talk about those guys here in just a second. And then Franny, man, I mean, like, just looking at like difficult courses, he rates out really well. My only thing is, you know, ever since his win at the API, it's just been kind of, you know, what the fuck? 53rd Charles Schwab, 48th PGA Championship, missed cut the Heritage. He did finish 5th at the Masters, and 56th at the Players Championship. So those are all his starts since his win at the Arnold Palmer Invitational all the way back in March, which seems like lifetimes ago. It's how rapidly this season moves now. You tell me, dude, because you know better than I feel with Franny. I don't feel like he's getting – my big play with it is I don't feel like he's getting the buzz that he should. And maybe it's because he's not playing well, but, you know, at 9,000, I would be really willing to take a risk on him.
You nailed it. He's not getting the buzz, and that intrigues me to him even more. Because I was not, like, thinking – you know, in past tournaments, people listen to this show regularly. I go in like, yep, this was Molly. I'm playing Molly.
Right.
It's like – I really liked him this week. It's a deep field. But then, like you said, when it comes to difficult courses, he plays them very, very well. When you're looking at a shot maker's course, where you have to be accurate off the tee and your approach game has to be strong, Molly does that very, very well more often than not. Like, he's really good at it. This is his first time playing Pebble in a tournament, so that'll be interesting.
Actually, but, no, he played the 2010 U.S. Open. He missed a cut.
Well, I wonder why they have him as a first-timer on this sheet.
Interesting. I don't know. But Labs has him as playing in the 2010 U.S. Open missed cut.
Okay. Well, so, that was a different Franny also, so I'll let that one slide.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. No, totally different guy. I mean, this is – the last 2 years are – yeah.
It was the always pressing boost. It happens. But I actually like him. The fact that there is no buzz, I think it's huge because you're hearing a ton of Jason Day buzz at $9,100. And it's not a bad play. Jason Day loves playing Pebble Beach. He's also coming in kind of, I don't know, form at $9,100. It's tough. I think Molly's a very, very good play at 9,000, maybe more GPP than cash. I'm not going to say don't play cash this week because it's a full field event. I have no problem playing cash. Just realize it's going to be ugly. Like the cuts, but 4 or 6 might cash in cash. So
yeah,
it's one of those weeks that's where it still benefits playing cash, but just realize don't get stupid. Like get really safe. Like I got my threesome for cash. I got picked out. You'll understand what I mean by like being really safe. And that still might not be safe, but it's a lot better than saying, okay, I'm going to take DJ and then take a punt. You're playing with fire, like big time fire. But yeah, back to the Molly thing. I like him a lot this week, especially if he's low owned. I'm a big fan of that. The other guys I like here is I like JT. I like seeing what we saw last week. JT's one of the most accurate guys off the tee. He was very accurate in Canada last week. And when he's doing stuff like that, he can play very, very well. So he's played decent in opens. Not great, but decent. But I'll be back on JT. He showed me he's healthy. Now, given the wrist injury, could probably get re-aggravated real quick with rough like that. Just keep that in mind. But I'll take my chances there with JT at 9,300. I think that's a great price tag. And then you mentioned Rose. I think, like you said, Rose, I think, was really cheap because people either don't want Cantlay right above him or everyone flocks to Ricky Fowler.
No, Ricky
Fowler. That's how it always works. So you're going to get a cheaper – like, if we can get a cheap Rose, a cheap Molinari, I doubt JT's cheap. But with Fowler right there and then Day right below, he might be cheap too. You get three guys that could easily win this golf tournament, super low owned. That is tremendous. Or like you said, when you said start with DJ and Brooks, start with two guys here, and that could be huge. So definitely different ways to build it, but those would be the three guys I'm looking at. All right, let's get into the 8K range, which gets more and more fun. You got Fleets at $8,900, Matsuyama at 88, Xander at 87, Scott 86, Cooch 85, Finau 84, Casey 83, Phil 82, Bryson 81, and Gary Woodland 8,000. Great set of names here, Jesse. Which ones are you targeting?
Yeah, I mean, this is like my – I feel like it's my range, right? Like they got all the guys I love to tilt over. Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of like with the same thing with Franny. Like I don't feel like Fleetwood is catching a lot of attention. And it's, I mean, it's really because he's kind of had at least in my eyes, a bit of a disappointing season. Not really contending.
It's been mediocre.
Like it was last year.
Mediocre.
But you know, the last time he missed a cut, missed any cut worldwide.
He's made every cut this year.
July of last year at the Open de France.
Pretty good.
So, it's not bad. Yeah, I mean, coming up on a year straight of not missing the cut. Now, you can look at it one or two ways. He's due or you know, he's just playing that well. And for that price, you know, I like him quite a bit. Hideki, same type of thing. I mean, he's just playing good golf. I would rather, for a win, I'd rather take Fleetwood over Deck. But, you know, Hideki can surprise and he can top 10 here easily. The last time he missed a cut was July of 2018. And that was at the British Open or the Open Championship. So same type of deal. Also on Adam Scott, $8,600, you know, give me the guy who has terrible course history, but is playing really well. Poa can be the great equalizer when it comes to bad putters. Be interesting to see which putter he does have this week. I hope to God he brings the big broom. If not, tilt my face off. And then Paul Casey, $8,300. Don't expect him not to be popular. Second, eighth, and 40th in his three appearances at Pebble. So the 40th was the 2010 U.S. Open that was held here. But ever since then, you know, the last 2 years, he's finished second and eighth in the Pebble Beach Pro-Am. So coming off a WD there, which was really fun when he actually did have the flu a couple weeks ago at the Charles Schwab. So maybe there'll be some bad taste in people's mouths. I don't know. But give me all of the Paul Casey, $8,300. He just hits a lot of fairways, hits a lot of greens. He might have a couple of really bad fuck up holes, so keep that in mind. But he's not going to make every single 12, 15 footer he stands over. But I feel like, you know, $8,300, that's like a steal, in my opinion.
No, I'm with you on most of this. Matsuyama at 88, talk ball strikers, talk accuracy. It's his putting with Matsuyama. I feel really good about playing Matsuyama at $8,800 to knock on wood, make the cut, and possibly contend. He plays well on opens. Recently, you know, T16, second, miscut, T18, T35, but, you know, T18 or better in three of the last 4 years. I don't mind that at all with Hideki Matsuyama at that $8,800 price point. I agree completely with that, Scott at 86, coming in great form. He can play courses like this very, very well, so I'm with you there. I think Cooch at 85, I already mentioned when I did the small courses, he was one of the top DraftKings scorers in the field. He plays pretty decent at this course. He got a top 10 here in the past. T22 here last season. He's got decent U.S. Open history. Missed cut last year with a 16th, 46th, 12th, 12th. Coming in, you know, good form after that missed cut. Because part of that missed cut, it was a T8, a second, a 12th. He was fourth last week. That was his first missed cut of the year. At $8,500, I have no problem with Cooch. You mentioned Casey. He's a very, very good play. Good course, or pretty good course history. Between the withdrawal and missing the cut at the Masters, I'm curious to see what his ownership comes out as. Because I think he's a really, really good play. But I'm not playing a chalky Paul Casey when I can go up to Kuchar. You know, you got Matsuyama, Scott, or I just drop down. And I play Gary Woodland, another guy that makes cuts, very inconsistent at time, but a guy that hits his three-wood very, very well. So a guy I keep an eye on in a GPP only at $8,000, someone to possibly target.
What are your thoughts on Xander?
I know you don't get him right. I haven't been getting him right lately. It's just if he's low-owned, I want to play him.
He's not going to be.
That's the problem. And I don't want to play a chalky Xander, but, you know, there's two U.S. Opens, a sixth and a fifth. He's played okay in his one chance at Pebble. He's coming in outside that missed cut where we all choked on that one. He's playing pretty good golf outside of that missed cut. It's like, yeah, you're saying he's not going to be low-owned, so I want nothing to do with a chalky Xander. But if for some reason he's low-owned, I'm very intrigued.
Yeah, the ownership is not – I mean, like Labs has incorporated FanShare, which is absolutely just the best thing ever, especially in a week like this, whenever you've got some early kind of buzz about somebody and he's got a pretty high buzz rating on FanShare. So be interesting to see what he's projected at and if that continues as more content comes throughout the week or whatever. But yeah, I never get him right, but I just feel like, man, you know, he could burn you. Like, I could see like a 25% Xander finishing top five and just being buried because, you know, he makes a bunch of DraftKings points. And that's like, what scares me.
And I don't have the exact like numbers in front of me, but it felt like that week he missed the cut, because I know I owned him. He was spraying it all over the place, and that will definitely kill him here. So
Charles Schwab.
Yeah, the one he missed the cut, he was just all over the goddamn place. It felt like, at least watching my tracker, it was bad.
He only hit 46% of the fairways at Charles Schwab, 50% of the greens. But he turned around at the Memorial and hit 78% of the fairways. So
see, that's the thing, is he's that good. So that'll be a strictly ownership. That'll be a Wednesday night, what do we got going on thing, because I think he makes a great ownership pivot. But if he's chalky, I can't do it. Can't do it. I want to take my chalk elsewhere, some of the guys up top, I have a feeling, or maybe one of the cheap guys, because I don't like a lot of the cheap range. Go chalky there and be different somewhere else. I don't feel like I can go chalky Xander.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into the 7K range, 7,500 and above. You got Usti, Pat Reed, Leishman, Sergio, Webb, Nah, Stabs, Stenson, Bubba, Wallace, Poulter, Lowry, and Sneds. A lot of guys we usually like on this show. Where are you going to 7,500 and above?
I mean, it's a great range. That I would love for Lowry – not to be chalky, but it's hard for me to not see him being chalky after his performance last week. He's a good win player. You know, obviously he's Irish, correct?
I believe so.
Yeah. He loves the wind. So yeah, he's Irish. So, I mean, it's, you know, I hate to not play him just because he's chalky, but I could see him definitely being chalky. Brant, Snedeker, the same type of thing. I mean, he's a POA guy anyways.
He loves playing out here.
I also think that Henrik and Webb are super chalk as well. I think a lot of people will start with one of those guys up top, and then that kind of leaves you, like, just for example, if you have DJ, it leaves you $7,700. How easy is it to come down here and just go Webb, Henrik, you know, Lowry?
Yep.
Snedeker. I mean, like, Poulter is another guy in this range.
That's actually a pretty good looking team on paper.
I mean, it is like that sounds good to me going in. But I mean, I think your average ownership there might be pretty high. Matt Wallace, man. I mean, you know, coming off the, you finished 41st in Denmark, but finished third at the PGA Championship. Second at the British Masters. I think he's interesting at 7,600. That's a better price for him than what he was at the PGA Championship when he was like $2. He was 7,600, but either way, I think the pivots here, man. I mean, and you know, imagine this, paying fucking more money for Rory Sabatini than, you know, Webb Simpson, who's a you know, past champion, Henrik Stenson, who's a major champion, Bubba Watson, major champion. I mean, that's a wild price for Rory Sabatini, but nobody is going to be on him. The last time he missed a cut on tour was back in February at this golf course.
Oh, even better for ownership.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so his course history is not good, but, you know, nobody's going to be on him. What do you think? I mean, you tell me. You're the Kevin Na whisperer. Is this a Kevin Na week?
I'm nervous because I've seen Kevin Na here in practice rounds before for the Pro-Am.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He tilts my face off watching him. That dude is a mental midget. I love him. As we know, I freaking play him a lot. I'm nervous about him. I guess, you know, like you're talking about ownership-wise, I don't hate it because he either plays really well here or he just blows up. That's what you're going to get. It's like certain guys we talked about lately that it's all or nothing, so he's not a cash game play. But as a GPP pivot, I actually think there's merit there. He's a really good iron player and a good approach guy, and that's going to play big, obviously, this week, as we've talked about many times. So I think Na and Sabatini are going to be very interesting this week when it comes to ownership.
I mean, nobody's going to be on there.
No.
Nobody.
It's going to make them really
interesting. They should be below 5% owned, just given the names around them, because they are like literally like the guys who just fucking stick out like sore thumbs, in my opinion, just from a name perspective and a kind of a pedigree perspective. Because there's some really good names down here, dude. I mean,
it's like Simpson and Stenson. Those are like two guys I'd love to start a cash lineup with, and Poulter.
Yeah, I can like see that
three,
for sure.
They're all three of those guys, and I'd be stoked.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, if you want to get ballsy and you're trying to fade the chalk here, I mean, it's got to be Sabatini and Na in this range because everybody else, I think, will get at least ownership just from name perspective. Leishman, maybe not as much so. Reed, probably not as much so. But Sergio will probably be chalky. And then Webb, Henrik, Bubba won't be, and he really shouldn't be. Like, he can't play. I mean, 35th and missed cut his last two appearances, 18 and 16 here.
This course,
average 63rd up in the Canadian Open, missed cut the PGA Championship. I mean, you know, Bubba, for me, just like you have to play him on certain courses, and I just don't think this is it. I mean, I was watching him Thursday, Friday of last week, and he's having trouble off the tee. And if he's having trouble off the tee here, good night.
Yeah, and you know, he might shut me up and play well this week, but this course does not fit his game. I don't see him playing well at this course. Anything's possible, but for a guy that shapes his shot and moves it around and has spin on his ball the way it does, it just doesn't line up well for this golf course.
Yeah.
I think Usti's very interesting at 79. If he gets the right mattress, it could be very interesting because he plays well on the open. He plays well at tough courses. So I think Usti and his iron play can be very, very intriguing at 79. You mentioned Reed will be low owned. He's a boomer bust GPP. He either goes all in or not. Last four U.S. Opens, a 4th, a 13th, a miscut, and a 14th. But, you know, his recent form is very up and down. So
he's got pretty good course history, though.
He plays well at Pebble. He likes Poa. He likes Pebble. So it's kind of one of those things, like, do you trust his ability to go big, or is it going to be a complete just disaster and his wife's going to be in someone's ear by the, you know, 12th hole? I don't know. It's going to be one of the two. But he could be a definite GPP play because he could be top 10 in it by weekend's end.
I like
Leishman for the same reason. Leishman does like – he's one of those Aussies that loves, you know, they can play well in the wind. Ocean courses don't bug him. I think Leishman's very, very intriguing as a pivot as well. You mentioned Simpson and Stenson. I'm big fans of both of them. I like them a lot. Stenson I've actually debated – as a one-and-done pick this week. Like, I think he's that good this week, and that scares me. But I haven't narrowed that one down just yet, but I think he's a very intriguing play. And then you mentioned Shane Lowry, and then Ian Poulter. Poulter at 75 is just criminal to me. Like, he should be above a lot of these guys. I think that's a a really good play the way he's playing. He's very accurate, stays out of trouble most of the time. So, you know, if I got to narrow it down, I think Usti, Webb, Stenson, and Poulter are like my main four right now. But like we just talked about in that big discussion about ownership and ownership pivots, things may change in the next couple of days. And it depends. Like we always said, you don't have to avoid all the chalk. Like if you play Simpson and Stenson, it's fine. You know, go play Jordan Spieth or something then. But yeah, we'll play that game. That's what the Slack chat's for. But that's where I'm at right now. Okay, 7,500 and below. There's a healthy set of names there, Jesse. Who are you looking at?
Start with 74 with Emiliano Grillo.
Grillo.
That's how we say it around here. Pretty solid finish there at the Memorial. Finished ninth. Has made every cut since the Honda Classic, which includes the Masters and the PGA Championship in there. So I don't mind him at 74. My boy Berger, he did finish 10th here back in 2015, which was the Pro-Am event, obviously. He's made every cut since the Texas Open. He just can't, like, put it all together. Again, I've said this week after week, but at 7,100, I think he's worth a look, especially with the names around him here. I know a lot of people are already on Hatton. I've seen, I think, Mayo's bet him and Feinberg's bet him. So expect him to be pretty popular. And him on, you know, Poa Greens, I don't know that I can really trust that. Just same thing with Billy Ho. You remember the last time that that the U.S. Open was on Poa Greens?
No. What was the last time?
Chambers Bay.
Ooh, that didn't go
and
well.
That's the gif of Billy Ho doing the, like, he hit a putt, and then it was, like, just moving all over the green, and he was going down with his little snake. Do you remember that? Have you seen that gif?
That's a pretty good one.
Yeah. So, I mean, I kind of put those two guys, like, in the hothead. If the shit's not going their way, good night. Class, you tell me in just a second after I mention one more guy, Scott Piercy at $7,000 coming off the miscut where he burned everybody. Did you see somebody tweeted at him, like, they put Scott Piercy on their never again list and said, and Scott replied, "You're on my never was list."
That's awesome. That gets brownie points in my books right there, Scott Piercy.
I mean, you know, he missed the cuts, Canadian Open.
Don't tweet shit to people. Encouragement, yeah, fine, but don't at them when you're being dickheads. Come on.
Right.
Yeah, you go play that golf course and tell me how it goes.
Blows my mind. But anyways, I think he's interesting at $7,000. I mean, that price for him, he was playing really well. I mean, he had two top three finishes in his last five starts. One miscut now and a 19th and a 41st. So, I don't mind him at $7,000. Keith Mitchell, I mean, like, I think I don't think I can do it. He rates out decently well on my labs model, but I just don't think I'm going to be able to do it. So I'm just going to go ahead and uncheck him right now.
I don't think he likes Poa, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, he doesn't. I mean, it's basically Bermuda or bust for him. Yep. So, taking him off the list at this moment. So the guy I was going to ask you about, since you are the Rafa whisperer, is it a Rafa week?
Dude, I love them. I think I talked about it when, after the Pro-Am, I sat and watched him play like his first six holes one day at Pebble, and he was put on a Stripe show. Like between watching him and his wife walking around with him, it was amazing. I want to play him. The current form is up and down, very inconsistent. I wouldn't play him in cash, but I think there is definite GPP upside. I could see that because he finished 22nd here last year and 26th the year before. So I don't hate him at that price point. I really don't. I think there's definite appeal to getting Rafa at that price. And that's pretty healthy. I don't mind it at all.
Okay.
All right. A couple other guys besides Rafa down here that I'm looking at. The defending champion from 2010, Graham McDowell. I loved him last week. Course kind of idea fits the same way. Be accurate off the tee. He's been playing really well at short courses this year. We've talked about it time and time again. I think Graham's a really good play at $7,300 if you're looking for a guy to make the cut and be successful. Another guy in that ilk, Jim Furyk at 72, I like quite a bit. I thought you were going to mention him. He's made 19 of 21 cuts at Pebble, finished 14th here earlier this year. He's made 21 of 24 cuts at the U.S. Open. He just plays really consistent golf, usually stays out of trouble, the kind of guy you're looking for here. Not saying he's going to win, but I wouldn't be shocked if Furyk sneaks into like a T20, T15. Wouldn't shock me at all. 7,200 bucks. I like that quite a bit. And I will give Billy Horschel a look at $7,200. I just like his approach game is pretty darn strong. I like that quite a bit. The POA thing is scary, but at $7,200, I think there's a lot of upside there with Billy Ho. So I'll give him a shot. But I really like the ideas of Graham McDowell, Jim Furyk, just kind of give your team a little safety with some upside. I don't hate it at all. All right, 6K range. Tons of options, Jesse. Tons of them. Who do you like?
Yeah, I mean, going to try to probably stay out of here as much as I possibly can, but there are some names down here that are playable, starting in the $6,900 range there. Bern Wiesberger, $6,900. Eighth and over in the Belgian Knockout, whatever the fuck that is. It's a European Tour event. Won the Made in Denmark Open and then had three straight cuts or made cuts before that. I think he's kind of coming off an injury or something. He kind of had a rough beginning of the year, a bunch of missed cuts, but it seems like he's coming back into form. Nobody will be on him. Could be like the Matt Wallace of the PGA Championship type of deal. Chez Reavie, $6,900. Just kind of shows up on some course history stats that I look at. Played well at PGA Championship, finished 14th. Blew my mind.
Blew a lot of people's mind.
And that's, you know, that's a golf course that was playing, what, 76?
Yeah, this doesn't fit his game at all.
No. I mean, this is the more of the Chez Reavie type of golf course where you don't have to hit it far, just place it around and then kind of go from there. Justin Harding also at $6,900. He showed up at the Masters, finished 12th there. And since then, missed cut 10th at the Byron Nelson and then 54th at the PGA Championship. So two straight made cuts in majors. It won't go unnoticed, but either way, I mean, he's not going to be super high owned. Nobody's going to be super high owned in this range. Joel Dahlman, $6,700. He just qualified or just got into they just added him into the field. Two appearances in Pebble, made two cuts. And then last but not least, Scottie Scheffler. Trying to figure out what to make out of this guy, dude. He's way up my on the stats. And maybe it's just because of where he's been playing, mostly on the web.com. And those, you know, those are easy to hit greens and easy to hit fairways. I'm not 100% sure, but he does have a win in the last couple weeks at the Evans Scholars Invitational, which is a web.com event, and then he missed the cut the next week at the Rex Hospital Open. So, whatever. You know, take that for what it's worth. But his last two appearances on PGA Tour were in Texas. Byron Nelson finished 35th, and Texas Open finished 20th. He is a Texas boy, so should be okay in the wind at $6,700. Like I said, he just rates out, like, super high on the model. I don't get it other than it's labs, and they you know, do things a little bit differently than what Fantasy Golf National is. But the good news about labs is there's stats on the web.com and stuff. And then one more, man, Victor Hovland. I'd be interested to see how much buzz he gets this week. He's the guy who played at Oklahoma State.
Yep. He's pretty, I would imagine he'd be popular, but we don't know. That'd be interesting. Yeah,
we'll see.
All right, a couple guys for me when checking in. Duff Daddy, you mentioned him already. The form he's coming in with is great, and I kind of like that. He qualified early in the week for the Open, took last week off. He's been playing a lot of golf lately. Bigger boy. I'm okay with him taking a week off. I already saw clips from yesterday. He's been out there on the range getting loose in pebbles. So I think at $1,600, he's got some upside for you. EVR, he was very popular last week, finished he finished 20th. He was playing really good on the European Tour. This will be his first U.S. Open, first time to Pebble. So it's dicey, but his tee to green game is pretty strong. He's $6,900. Could be interesting. Mention Lucas Biergaard. I kind of get worried because Biergaard's a big – I don't know if I trust his driving game's huge. I don't know if I trust his non-driver game, if that makes sense. But he's played really well on POA. We talked about that. And shorter courses has played really well. So – he could be a kind of sneaky name. KH Lee could be sneaky as he's been playing great golf as well. But a couple other ones, this one will probably be popular thanks to Pat Mayo and Feinberg, but Danny Willett is actually coming in pretty good form, like pretty decent form. So I think he's interesting at 68. A guy I like a lot, and he's been kind of up and down the week. I was all in. He missed the cut. He T41 last week. He T5 the week before the missed cut. but he's made 10 of 12 cuts at this golf course, and that's Matt Jones at $6,700. I think there's some upside there. And then if you want a super punt, and it's only because he's coming in good form, but he's been playing on like the European Tour and some other tours, but T17, T2nd, T18, T19, T13. Other than that, it's not pretty, but his name, let me see if I can pronounce it correctly. Give me a chance here. He's from Norway. They don't even pronounce his first name. Halvorsen. He's $6,300. I'm just looking at a guy with good recent form that's super cheap. I'll take my chances there. It's worked out most of the time this year. I'll gamble with it at $6,300. If you want to play those big boys, you're going to have to take a gamble somewhere.
Andreas
Straka. Is that his first name? Andreas Halvorsen.
Mm-hmm.
He's made 10 of 12 cuts this year, playing over there in Europe. He's from Norway. I don't hate it. It's not like a go get him, have to play him. I think there's a little bit of upside there. All right, let's recap everything. Jesse, 10K and above, one pick. Who is it?
I'm just going to go off of basically the models, and that's DJ.
Yeah, DJ's, if you're only taking one, it's DJ. If you took DJ, I'll take Jordan Spieth just to mix it up for people. But yeah, DJ's the guy. 9K and above, give me one guy.
I'm going to go with Franny just for the ownership perspective.
I like Franny quite a bit. If I got to give a separate name, Justin Thomas. Very intrigued by Justin Thomas. You know, former world number one at $9,300.
No, 100%. I don't mind that at all. My only thing about Justin, I think he'll be more popular.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to play Francisco Molinari all the time and tilt every three-footer that he missed. And I've only garnered a little bit of resentment towards him since he became popular and started
winning,
losing me money. Yeah, because he wins.
Yeah. No, come join. The bandwagon is still open. Welcome. 8K and above, give me two guys.
Fleetwood and Casey.
Give me Matsuyama and Kuchar. I'm afraid that's going to be chalky, but give me Matsuyama and Kuchar. All right, 7,500 and above, give me two guys.
Lowry and Wallace, just for the ownership perspective.
Yeah, I know this is going to sound stupid, but I'm going to say Stenson and Simpson, but we know it's chalk. That could be changed later on.
That's not stupid at all. Those are like two, in the grand scheme of things, like those are the two best plays in this range, in my opinion. So, but you know, they're going to be chalky. So I,
the other guy would be Poulter. I think every time I scroll down, I go, oh, he's still there at 75. Like, it doesn't seem right. He's $7,500. That's one of the guys I'm looking forward to seeing the most tomorrow is Ian Poulter. I just can't wait to see Ian Poulter there. It won't be like New York, Ian. It won't be like New York.
Give us a report.
Yeah. 7,400 and below. Give me a couple guys.
Griot and then Berger.
McDowell and Furyk for me. McDowell and Furyk. If you had just one punt, who are you punting with?
Scheffler.
If I have one punt and one punt only, it'll be Danny Willett.
I like Chaz, though, also.
That's a sneaky play. He plays well at Pebble. Finished second there 2 years ago.
We'll see.
So, something to keep in mind. If you're starting a GPP lineup, Jesse, give me three guys.
I mean, just completely fucking balls to the wall, GPP, Brooks, DJ, and then Scheffler.
I like it. I can appreciate it. I'm going to go with Molly, Scott, and Usti. Those are the three I wrote down, GPP starter. Cash, I'm going to start with Kuchar, Stenson, and Poulter. Who are you starting with?
Yeah, I mean, I think Stenson and Webb are totally fine for cash. I mean, I wouldn't mind starting there. Casey, I would put in the cash category as well. And, I mean, if you got it, you know, maybe get up to Cantlay potentially.
Yeah, I can see that for sure. All right, give me some picks to win. I got the spread, the odds up. Give me some guys. Who you like?
It's not been a very good year for the old picks to win here. Just going to go ahead and throw that out there. It's hard to not see DJ or Brooks winning this.
You know what's crazy is Rory's.
What do you got on?
Rory's tied with DJ as the favorite. Brooks is right behind him.
Oh, they've moved since then.
Yeah.
Last time I saw it was like both DJ and Brooks were like 8-1 or something.
I got Rory and DJ 8-1, Brooks 8.5-1.
Yeah. What kind of odds do you have on Tommy Fleetwood?
Tommy Fleetwood, 33-1.
Yeah, see, I don't mind that. And then what about Adam Scott?
Yeah, that's one I wrote down earlier. Adam Scott's 33-1. That's one guy that I don't.
Like, you can stomach those types of. I mean, I really think that it's hard to not see as good of as like top heavy as golf is right now. And don't get me wrong, like there's some really, really good golfers down in the 6-7K range, but the 8-9, 10K range is, I mean, literally it's so top heavy. It's hard not to see a golfer from that region.
Yeah. Usually the best of the best competes here. That's usually what's going to happen.
And that's what's happened. Like, when's the last time we had like a surprise major winner?
Yeah, I can't name one off the top of my head unless people thought Brooks was it the first time, but they shouldn't have. But yeah, it's been a while. It's for darn sure. Well, maybe Danny Willett at the Masters.
Danny Willett at the Masters was probably it. Let's see. Patrick Reed won the Masters.
But he was still at least a name. Like, you knew who he was. He was pretty decent. He wasn't, you know, elite, right? But he was decent.
Franny won the Open Championship, but still.
He was on a roll by then. He was winning a little bit.
Jimmy Walker won the 2016 PGA Championship. Well, yeah,
like Lucas Glover won one year. That would be one.
Willett won the 2016 Masters.
Yeah, so 2016 was the year.
In the last year, your major champions are Tiger Woods, Brooks Koepka, Franny, and Brooks.
Yep. Elite golfers.
Yeah.
Brooks has won two of these in a row and two PGAs in a row. He's won four of the last like six events.
Crazy, dude.
Yeah. A couple that I like. I like the Adam Scott at 33-1. Justin Thomas is 30-1. That has my attention. Henrik Stenson 60-1. I think there's a little appeal there. Webb's 50. But then the long shot, Poulter's 125-1. I just can't take my eyes off of that. I don't know. Last time I was all in an Ian Poulter, it didn't end as well as it should have. But there's just something about that man. Like, he just shows up. But we'll see, Jesse. We will see. Any final thoughts as we run through the DraftKings? We've given our picks. Now we wait and tilt our face off Thursday morning.
I don't have much to say other than, you know, watch your win finder. Potential for some kind of draw. It's, you know, it's always good to check that Wednesday night. I probably won't make any teams until Wednesday night. And then also, too, you know, it should be pretty good coverage. The fun thing about being on the West Coast is it doesn't start till 9:45 my time, which is good for you as well because it starts at 6:45 your time instead of 3:45.
So I can wake up, and if there's something bad that happens, I have a chance to fix it.
Right. So that's awesome. So then it's not going to get over until, what, like 9 o'clock my time? So it'll be like 6 your time?
Oh, yeah, Fox has already said they're putting it on prime time. It's going to be awesome.
Have they mentioned anything about being commercialist?
I heard Shane Bacon on the No Laying Up pod. They won't be commercialist because USGA wants to, you know, get their money. So it won't be like the LPGA, but it's like instead of 5 straight hours of no commercials, it'll be like 4 hours and 30 minutes of no commercials.
Really?
Like, they're going to sneak in a few, and I imagine it'd be screen and screen, stuff like that. It's going to be a lot of golf.
And, you know, you can kind of really, more toward the end, stomach that more than anything else than at the beginning when, like, I mean, CBS is just constant. Like, it's every 10 minutes.
Well, and the thing with Fox is instead of, like, you know, Golf Channel and CBS where it's, you know, you get to see the afternoon guys, I think they're going to start pretty early where you get to see, like, everybody play golf.
Well, they started the Women's U.S. Open at 1 o'clock.
So we'll miss Tiger Day 1 and a few others then.
So, I mean, it just I mean, I don't know about the weekdays. Are they going to have Thursday and Friday coverage as well?
I believe so. I'd have to check all that out. But I think they're doing their best to get us as much coverage as possible. I remember I thought it felt like, you know, in recent years they did a boatload of coverage, but I could be wrong.
Yeah.
They do a good job with the app, and DirecTV's got those other channels. I think they kind of run those throughout the day.
Let's check the viewing schedule. Here we go. So that's Wednesday. We don't give a shit about that. FS1, 12:30 to 7:30. Good night.
That's a lot of golf, Jesse. That's 8 hours of golf. Quick math. Yeah. Seven hours.
Either way, that's a shit ton of golf. That's awesome.
that's full rounds for the afternoon guys and half of probably the early guys. That's good golf.
And then they have feature groups starting at 10:45. I'm guessing as you're all Eastern time. on that morning. And then you can watch the practice range starting at 7 a.m. if you'd like, if you're fucking like extremely bored.
If you're feeling it.
And then basically the same thing on Friday, and then 12 p.m. to 10 p.m. Saturday.
They're going prime time, that's what I heard.
Fox.
Yes.
And then kind of odd, but 2 p.m. to 10 p.m. Sunday.
I wonder why they're starting later on Sunday. Must have a NASCAR race or something.
That is odd. But either way, that's a lot of golf. I mean, 12 to 10 and then 2 to 10. It's going to be awesome. I'm actually going to be, we got a bachelor party going to, but we're going to a golf course. So, but that'll be fun to be able to watch that in the evening.
Yeah.
At least be able to catch the last couple hours of it.
It's going to be awesome. And if you guys have any questions throughout the week, hit us up on Twitter and join the Fantasy Degens Slack chat. It's free to get into. It's been much more active of late. It's been lots of fun talking some golf in there. So come join us. But any final thoughts, Jesse?
I just gave them.
Okay, no, I'm just double checking. I got so wrapped up in your pizza coverage.
Hey, listen, it's gonna be a fucking super tilting week. So just fucking buckle your seatbelt.
Yep, it's gonna be a fun one. Five of sixes will probably be just fine. So just have a good five of six, and if you have a six of six, you're gonna have a lot of fun this week.
Yeah.
So check out Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods, the podcast at Always Press DFS, and if you give a rating and review on iTunes, we'd much appreciate it. And I'm on Twitter at BDIntric. But until next time, this was the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast previewing the 2019 US Open. Catch you guys later.